Well, always remember the pattern of redemptive history of God. Remember the very first thing, even before the creation, there was an eternal covenant between the Father and the Son. And Jesus comes as a man in the midst of history to fulfill that covenant. And once it is fulfilled, but only spiritually, so he's going to come back again, so that there's an interim period, church age, the period of the in which the kingdom of God is accomplished only spiritually. Then end of that 1,000-year kingdom, meaning church age, Antichrist crisis, then soon after that, there will be two gathering, Armageddon. But for God's people, Armageddon gathering is for salvation. But non-Christians, Satan will gather his forces, but that is only for the judgment, because Jesus Christ will come back to judge them. And after that, visible consummation of the eternal kingdom of God. That's when everything is completely, visibly consummated. So we have been looking at number three, this interim period, the church age. So next in the, what should I call these things? Six steps or six things that will happen. Well, today we're going to start looking at Antichrist crisis. So we're not going to look at, in detail. We're just going to look at the big picture, because that's what we've been doing during this series. But if I were to, go through like Book of Luke, I will do it in detail. But this is the topical Bible study, so we're gonna look at the big picture. Wow, that's a long. Okay. Now the church age ends, and I don't know when that will be. And as soon as church age ends, right after comes the Antichrist crisis. And soon as that happens, that will lead to Armageddon War, which is the judgment that God will bring as Satan gathers his forces. So throughout the church age, there are many mini Armageddon wars, but at the end, there will be the Armageddon War, when Satan gathers all of his forces to attack the church. And in the beginning of that Armageddon War, it appears that church is losing, but it's not going to be long time, God says, because Jesus Christ will come back to destroy all Satan and his followers. So that is the last judgment of God. And at the same time, our Lord will save all of his people. And we will see the whole redemptive history then is completely fulfilled visibly. So today, like I said before, we are looking at the Antichrist a crisis. Like we just said, this Antichrist crisis comes just before the last Armageddon War. In the Bible, it is said to be for a short time. And the Bible once again gives us a symbolical numbers. Revelation 11:9. We're going to start from there. Those from the peoples and tribes and tongues and nations will look at their dead bodies, for 3.5 days. And it will not permit their dead bodies to be laid in a tomb. If you remember the Revelation 11, there were two witnesses, and they were allowed to prophesy for 3.5 years. But after 3.5 years, what happens? Well, they will be dead. And their dead bodies here for 3.5 days. So during 3.5 years, we saw this already, it's the whole church age. They are preaching the gospel. And that's the church. That's what we're doing because we're living in the church age. But when that church age is over, there will be this time, you know, when the church age is over, meaning that no more preaching the gospel. There will be no more saving because the number has been fulfilled. And this whole history of the world will only go until the number that God has chosen at, you know, even before the creation of universe. He said, I will save certain amount of people. And we have that symbolical number, right? 144,000 people. And when that last person is saved, then there's no reason for this history to go on. Because God's, unless God wills that even after the last Christian is died and the whole world just continues without any Christian, but that's not what the Bible tells us. So that's not going to happen. But anyway, here the two witnesses, their bodies will be on the street for 3.5 days. So the period in which the two witnesses are dead, lying in the street, 3.5 days. The period in which the two witnesses were witnessing was 3.5 years. So God compare, you know, you are able to compare it, compared to the whole church age, this Antichrist crisis will be very short time. Both are symbolical numbers. So if you go to Revelation 11, you are there. Let's read verse 3. And I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1260 days, clothed in sackcloth. That 1260 days, if you say that in terms of years, is 3.5 years. It's talking about church age. So these two witnesses will prophesy, meaning church will continue to preach the gospel during those years, but those days will come to an end. Does the Antichrist crisis come right after the church age? And it is followed by the resurrection of the two witnesses. Revelation 11, verse 11 and 12. But after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God came into them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell upon those who were watching them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. Then they went up into heaven in the cloud, and their enemies watched them. So obviously church will die, but we will all resurrect, and we will be gathered into heaven. So let us go to Revelation 20 then. Because, like I say, we're going to look at the big picture, and best place to see that big picture is in Revelation. Revelation 20, verse 3. And he threw him, God threw Satan, into the abyss, and shut it and sealed it over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. Do you see it then? 1,000 year, same period, same duration as 3.5 years. And we talked about this when Bible speaks of church's suffering, it uses 3.5 years. When Bible talks about church triumphing and, you know, worshiping God, it uses 1,000 years. But it is the same duration of time. But here again, after 1,000 years, for a short time, Satan is released. That's the Antichrist crisis. So after the 1,000-year kingdom, meaning after the church age, and that short time, the Antichrist crisis will bring the last Armageddon war. Revelation 20, verse 7 through 10. When the 1,000 years are completed, meaning church age is over, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations. Do you remember he was bound so that he will not be able to deceive the nations for 1,000 years? But that 1,000 years is now over, so he is released, verse 8, and will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore. And they come up. So here, right after church age, Satan is released and he is now able to go and deceive the whole nations, meaning he's gathering his forces so that he could attack the church. So obviously during this time, church will suffer a lot. But what happens? Verse 8 says that he's gathering. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore. And verse 9, and they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And the fire came down from heaven and devoured them. So there's that Antichrist crisis, then there's a Armageddon war, but Jesus comes and defeats them. So verse 10, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So again, when you read Book of Revelation, it's a symbolical language. It uses the Old Testament language to tell us what's going to happen in the future. So you have to, you know, read it, but it's not the physical realities. You're not going to see Russia and China, you know, attacking Jerusalem. That's not what it's talking about. It's a spiritually, you have to interpret it in a spiritual manner. And church has been attacked by the world all this time, but that attack will be severe as the Antichrist crisis come. Now let's go to Revelation 11. Revelation 11, we read it again. We read it before, but let's do that. Verse 7. When they have finished their testimony, meaning the two witnesses symbolizing the church, when they have finished their testimony, meaning that now everybody is saved and there will be no more gospel being preached in this world, the beast that comes up out of the abyss will make war with them. Same thing, right? We read this in Revelation 20. Revelation repeats, same event many, many times. And here, the beast that comes up out of the abyss will make war with them and overcome them and kill them. So, beast released. That's the Antichrist crisis, right? What's going to happen? When he's released, he actually kills the church. That will be you will hear the last gospel, and, you know, there will be no true church anymore after he's released. So he kills those two witnesses, verse 8, and their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which mystically is called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. Understand, Jesus did not die in Sodom or Egypt. He died in Jerusalem. So, you understand the symbolical aspect of these things here. Those two witnesses, they died, their dead body will lie in the streets of the great city, which mystically or symbolically called Sodom and Egypt. And when you understand Old Testament, Egypt and Sodom, they were a symbol of the world, right? So, the two dead bodies, church, will die in this world. But it's just like their Lord, Jesus Christ, and, you know, he died in the world, even though he died in Jerusalem. Verse 9, those from the peoples and tribes and tongues and nation will look at their dead bodies for 3.5 days and will not permit their dead bodies to be laid in a tomb. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and celebrate. And they will send gifts to one another because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. So the whole world is celebrating because church is dead. And that's what we read here. Well, let's go back to Revelation 17 now. Revelation 17, verse 8. The beast that you saw was and is not, and he's about to come up out of the abyss and go to destruction. And those who dwell on the earth, whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will wonder when they see the beast that he was and is not and will come. Now, beast who comes up from the abyss is Satan, right? So we understand then Satan is described like this, who was and is not and is about to come. Think about it. During the Old Testament, he was not bound. He was able to deceive the whole nation. So he was. But for 1,000 years, at this time in the writing of the book of Revelation, he is now bound, so he's not. But he will come out of the abyss, so he will come. Do you understand that phrase? Satan, who was not, but who is, and I mean, who is, who was, I'm confusing you. Satan, who was, because in the Old Testament he was not bound, but now he's bound, so who is not, and he will come out again, so who will come in the future. So, but it says that he will be completely destroyed. Verse 8 and 11, it says that the beast will come out and he will go to destruction, verse 8. And verse 11 says, the beast which was and is not is himself also an eighth and is one of the seven, and he goes to destruction. So I want you to understand all this. You know, Satan might come out of the abyss and he's going to persecute the church because it's an antichrist crisis. But it is all according to God's plan. And this is what we must remember always. The antichrist crisis and the last Armageddon war, these are all according to God's plan. And what is God's plan? Well, Satan will gather his forces to attack the church for last time, but that's how God gathers non-believers and Satan, and he will destroy them. It's for his judgment. So all this is God's plan to destroy Satan completely and eternally. And, you know, God shows us in many places what's going to happen. And we need to know. Now, you know, Bible does not tell us exact date, exact time, or exact person's name and identity. It doesn't tell us any of that. But you kind of understand what will happen in the future. It might have started already that Antichrist has been born somewhere. We don't know. Or he will come way later. We don't know. But God says, always be awake and pray. Well, let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and try to understand the Antichrist crisis from that passage. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 1. It's quite a bit, but let's read. Verse 1. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. It's pretty interesting that my sermon on Lord's Day, coming Lord's Day, will deal with this passage. Because we're looking at Luke, the end section of Luke chapter 11, right? Talking about judgment of God and Jesus' second coming. But what he's saying is, you know, you're going to hear a lot of false teachers telling you, you know, Jesus will come back. I don't know. My lifetime, the most famous of that was 1988? I forgot. You know, there were so many people came out and said, Jesus will come back on, you know, that year, that day. No, he didn't. What is Bible saying? Do not listen to these people. Because that end will not come until that Antichrist comes. But do we see Antichrist? Well, we see small antichrists, but not the antichrist. And unless we see that person, and when he truly appears, it will be more evident for us to know, but not yet. So, no matter what you know, people say, don't think that then that end has already come until you see this antichrist figure. That's what verse 4 is saying. Verse 3. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. We're talking about antichrist. Verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. So obviously when this person comes, he's going to claim that he's God. And he's going to do a lot of false wonders and false miracles and all kinds of stuff. And here, verse 5, do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed. So obviously, God is restraining that time right now, him, so that he's not going to come unless God now says, okay, this is time. Alright? Verse 7, for the mystery of the lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Verse 8, then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. I mean, we're reading so many passages and it's saying the same thing. That Antichrist will be destroyed by Jesus' second coming. But look at what he's going to do, Antichrist. Verse 9. That is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. So when he comes, he's going to perform all kinds of things that the worldly people will love, so that they will all follow him. I don't know what he's going to do, but based on what I read in other parts of the Bible, maybe I shouldn't say that because I'm not 100% sure, but I think it is something to do with money. Because God says you cannot worship, you know, God and money at the same time. But who knows? I don't know. But everybody will look to him and say, whoa, he's the Savior. And for a while, they think that, whoa, he's going to do all kinds of good things for them, so they will all follow. The whole world will follow this guy. All right. Verse 11. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false. So when that time comes, and do you remember that the last person who needs to be saved is already saved, so that everybody in the world, right? And if you're living at that time as a Christian, it's going to be pretty hard, but everybody in the world who are not saved, God will say, send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false. So these people will believe false things. In order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. So obviously that gathering will be tremendous gathering, you know, it's going to be huge. And everybody will actually believe that he's God, and they're going to follow. But see, when we read verse 6 and 7, let me read that to you again, verse 6. And you know what restrains him, the Antichrist, now, so that in his time he will be revealed. For the mystery of the lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Meaning what? God is in complete control. He controls when he's going to appear. He controls what happens when he appears. And that's exactly what we read in this passage. Just like other passages, we see God is in control. So it's not like, you know, Satan has all kinds of power and he appears and God is like panicking because now he sees Satan. No, no. And do you remember, even his appearing is all about destroying him. So you and I, we don't have to really worry about it. This is why you gotta believe what the Bible tells you, that even death is gain. If you are fearful of dying, that's gonna complicate things. But if you have a true belief, meaning you believe what the Bible says, and going to heaven is a good thing. And that doesn't mean, and I'm going to talk about that on the Lord's Day, that doesn't mean you completely disregard your life here on earth. We got to do everything with all we have, because we're doing all these things for the glory of God. So, there are people who say, oh, Jesus is coming, so they sell their houses and they quit their job and they go to some mountain and waiting and waiting. That's not what God wants you to do. No. For me, I will preach the gospel and teach the gospel until I see Him coming. Nothing changes until then. We do what God has given us to do with everything we have, because we're doing all those things for His glory. So, and as we saw already, Satan always mimics God. And this is what I need you to know. Satan is so predictable. He mimics God. And there are many examples in the Old Testament too, but let me just explain this time. Just as God accomplishes all things through Jesus Christ, Christ, the Messiah, Satan works through Antichrist. It's Satan mimicking God. So we see how Satan worked through a serpent in Genesis. Now, I want to explain what does it mean that Satan is going to work through Antichrist. Because Antichrist is a person who's going to be born. But Satan will use this guy. Now, we see this even from Genesis. Satan actually comes to Adam and Eve in the form of a serpent. Now, Satan works through, verse 3, the man of lawlessness, or son of destruction. The concept of possession. And this is what I need you to understand, because when we hear that word possession, we think of horror movies. But see, that's Hollywood. That's not what the Bible says. In fact, everybody is possessed. You and I, we're possessed by the Holy Spirit. So, being possessed is so natural. It should not bring, fear to you when you hear that word. Because Holy Spirit possesses us, of course. But if you understand this possession according to the Bible, like I said, it is very natural. You and I are possessed by the Holy Spirit. Non-believers are possessed by the evil spirit. Luke chapter 8, verse 32 and 33. Now there was a herd of many swine feeding there on the mountain, and the demons implored Jesus to permit them to enter the swine. Just like Satan entering the serpent. And he gave them permission. And the demons came out of the man and entered the swine. And the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. So when you read the word demons, they are same thing as the evil spirits. Now, what are the evil spirits? Well, they are the fallen angels. When Satan fell, many, about half of the angels, good angels, they fell with Satan and became evil spirits. So they do what Satan wants them to do. And they are everywhere. Everywhere where non-Christians are. Now, they cannot enter Christian, obviously, because we have the Holy Spirit. And Bible says, how do you know that you have the Holy Spirit? Well, without the Holy Spirit, you cannot truly say that Jesus is my Lord and He is my God. Only Holy Spirit enables you to do that. I mean, non-Christian can say it, but they don't believe it. But if you truly believe and you say, Jesus is my Lord, that means you have the Holy Spirit, because without Holy Spirit, you cannot say this according to the Bible. So it's not like you have to do a tongue saying all this gibberish stuff, or you do, I don't know, these days you... That's not indication of you having the Holy Spirit. No, Bible says if you truly believe in Jesus Christ, that He is your God and Lord, then you have the Holy Spirit. So, the demons or the evil spirits, they are fallen angels. The spirits of the dead people do not roam around. Again, that's Hollywood. You know, when Hollywood talks about evil spirit, it's the spirit of someone dead. That person's spirit. That person was so wronged that he just cannot go heaven or hell, so they roam around. No, there's no such a thing like that. But evil spirits, fallen angels, they could pretend that they are those dead people, of course. And if you are non-Christian, like God said, God sent this believing the false things. And they will believe it. But true Christian, can they be ultimately deceived? Bible says no. I mean, think about it. If the Holy Spirit is living in us and continue to witnessing to us, how can we be ultimately be deceived? And if we are truly God's son, do you think the Father will let His own sons be deceived ultimately? No. That just cannot happen. When non-Christians die, their spirits go to hell right away. They don't stay around. So don't even think about that kind of stuff. You know, you hear this from non-Christian, you know, my dead mother came by today. No. She cannot come by. Because that dead person's spirit is either in heaven or hell right away. But like I said, that those evil spirits can pretend to be those people who have died. And non-Christians are, according to the Bible, possessed by the evil spirits. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. In which you were formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. So according to Satan, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. So sons of disobedience, meaning non-Christians, what spirit is working in those people? According to Ephesians 2, verse 2. Well, Satan and his following, you know, evil spirits. Just like you are possessed by the Holy Spirit. So don't, see, I think Hollywood has done a really disservice for us, because when you hear this kind of stuff, you think of those horror movies and it's not helping. But it's like saying we're all breathing. Do you think anything when you hear it, that, oh, you're breathing, and you go, of course. It's just like that. You are possessed. Either by the Holy Spirit or evil spirit. That's it. It's like us breathing. That natural. That nothing to be surprised. And think about it. If an evil spirit, especially Satan, goes into a person, that person will be used by Satan. But it's not like how Hollywood shows again, you know. You know, that, not that way. But very deceiving way. You will not even know. And sometimes when you see people possessed by evil spirit, they will be actually more morally, according to the worldly standard, than us. They will be good people. But still, it's not, that person is not being used by God. I mean, ultimately, it is, he is, but immediately not, because controlled by the evil spirits. Matthew 22, verse 3. Let me just read to you. And Satan entered into Judas. Judas Iscariot, who was called Iscariot, belonged to the number of the 12. So it is very clear. Judas was used by Satan. It clearly teaches us that Satan entered him. So this is how you understand the Antichrist. It will be Satan who will enter him and used him. Exactly according to how he's going to use him in an evil way to attack, you know, our God and his people. Yeah, so God shows us, you know, what happened to these people. You know, like even snake. Satan entered the snake. Just like evil spirit entering pigs. So don't think that, whoa, how can Satan enter animal? Well, we see many examples. But Satan also entered Judas. So why are we surprised that Satan will dominate this person by entering that person and using him? He could have done it himself. But see, he always has to mimic God. Because God works everything through Christ, so he has to do it that way. Now, through Antichrist. So, this is how the Antichrist will be used by Satan and will participate in the destruction of Satan. Judas Iscariot, John chapter 17, verse 12. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, Jesus says, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture will be fulfilled. So Jesus says, I will protect all my disciples except one, Judas. And Satan entered that person. So, son of destruction, he is called. So just like the Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the son of destruction. But always remember, you and I, we are possessed by the Holy Spirit. You don't have to worry about being possessed by evil spirits. Think about it. If the Holy Spirit lives in you, and evil spirit wants to come in, what? The Holy Spirit will say, okay, let me make some room. I'll just squeeze here so you could come in too. That's ridiculous. How can evil spirit be with God? Will be immediately, like completely destructive. Now, we're coming to an end, so let me do this. Satan, he cannot incarnate. Meaning, he cannot become a man like Jesus Christ. See, in Christ's story, God became a man. But Satan wants to mimic God, but he cannot become a man. So, he mimics God in this way, in working through the son of destruction. Satan uses many humans as he sees fit throughout the history. And ultimately, he will use the Antichrist. Revelation chapter 13, verse 2 and 4. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like the those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. Verse 4, they worshiped the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? And who is able to wage war with him? So here in this passage, the beast is now Antichrist. Who gives him the authority? Dragon. Now who is dragon? Well, Revelation 12 verse 9. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. So, dragon gives this character, Antichrist, authority. And he will do all kinds of wonders, and people will worship him and say, oh, how great is he? Look at what he's able to do. We see our Lord Jesus Christ perfectly obeys the will of his Father and receives the glory with his Father. But the Antichrist? See, you have to understand, Antichrist. He himself is contradiction. See, he cannot obey, ultimately. He cannot obey Satan. By nature, the Antichrist will challenge Satan. So he is counterproductive, self-destructive. So Satan knows this. But by his nature, he cannot but continue his madness. He knows he's going to be destroyed by God. But there is no repentance. There is no, you know, oh, I have to stop. I'm going to be destroyed. No, Satan's nature is just that. He has to continue his madness. Satan knows that he will be destroyed, but he cannot help himself. He cannot do otherwise but go into his eternal destruction. Because he is the father of all lies. And it is the same with Antichrist. So it's going to be pretty interesting because they're going to really oppose themselves. And yet they're working together to destroy, you know, God and his people. But how that's going to, you know, God even said, if a kingdom is divided, it will fall. Satan's kingdom will fall. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, that is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders. So, everything that Antichrist will do will be accord with the activity of Satan. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 through 12. That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan and with all power and signs and false wonders and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. So he will mimic Jesus Christ, Antichrist will. He will mimic the second coming of Jesus Christ and gather his forces. You know how Jesus will come back and he will gather all of his people into heaven. And that's exactly what Antichrist will do. He will come and he will gather his people. The phrase referring to this Antichrist, the one who's coming, literally parousia. This word is used to describe Jesus' second coming. So Bible even hints at his mimicking Jesus. Yeah, the Antichrist crisis, it will be a time of great suffering for Christians, but it is also the time for the Antichrist to gather his forces for the last Armageddon war. And that gathering, it is through deceptions and lies. So these people will gather unto this person, but they're deceived. Because that's what he does. Remember, he was bound for 1,000 years so that he cannot deceive the nations. But when he is released, that's exactly what he will do. He will deceive the whole world. So you have to pay attention to what is going on around you in this world. Man, I could name so many things that is going around that is considered a good thing to so many people, and yet they're just flat out denying what God has saying in his book. Just like gender. God created man and woman. God never created anything else. And yet they're talking about all kinds of genders. Where do you think this is coming from? Anything that goes against the Bible. But see, people will be deceived. They're actually thinking that they're throwing their lives for the good cause. Because they're deceived. God tells us all these things. And you have to be really, you have to know the truth. Otherwise, then you're going to you know, find yourself in the midst of all that stupid, oh, there's so many things. But this gathering of Satan is all through deception and lies. We saw this before. At the Garden of Eden, Satan came as a serpent and deceived the Adam and Eve to betray God and follow Satan. And they fell. Even as righteous people, they fell. So do you think that people who are not righteous, do they have any, I don't want to use that word chance, but do they have any power not to fall? Not to be deceived? Well, unless Holy Spirit works in them. Otherwise, they have no power whatsoever not to be deceived. They will be deceived. At the Antichrist crisis, that deception will be a global proportion. Just like in a typological Antichrist crisis that we saw in the Old Testament, during the last Antichrist crisis, it will seem Satan is succeeding for a little while. But at the last Armageddon war, Satan's gathering will be a global gathering. And when you see these things, anti-God movements all over the world, the whole world is involved. It will be a gathering of all power and authority of this world against the true Armageddon, the church. And like I said, until the Antichrist crisis, you will have many Antichrist crises throughout the history, but it will all culminate to the one. Just like Armageddon, same thing. Well, now next time then, we're going to look into last Armageddon war, because this is Antichrist crisis. All it is Satan is now given authority by God to gather his forces so that he could attack the church for the last time. But at the same time, that's God's call for him to gather so that God could judge them finally. So we're going to look at that Armageddon war. And like we do all the time, we're going to go to Old Testament first, because obviously Old Testament shows us in a typological way this Armageddon war. We're going to look at that. Then we'll come to New Testament, and we're going to look at that. I believe we have about 6-7 more Bible studies to go until the visible consummation of our eternal home, heaven. But, you know, this is not to scare you. This is to know that everything is in God's control. And all you have to do is trust God. And you are already saved. And He will save you. And you might have to go through little sufferings here and there. But even death is gain. But like I said, God will only give you the temptations that you are able to bear. God will only allow you temptation, I should say. Because God himself does not tempt anyone. But the testing of you is only according to your faith. So he's not going to give you big tests that you cannot handle. But don't you want to be able to handle big tests? That means you're that much mature in your faith and knowledge. Because that's what we want to be. We want to be like Christ. Well, let me pray, then I will entertain your questions if you have them, or whatever you want to talk about after this. Let's pray first. Father, we thank you for your word. It clearly shows us what will happen, how everything will end. And Father, you told us to be awake and continue to pray. So Father, let us do that, so that we will have strength, that we will have understanding and knowledge to stand before our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes. Oh Father, bless us with the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.